Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Mustoe, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Liverpool drop all 3 points at Leicester City to extend their winless streak to 3 matches. Chelsea draw with Brighton thanks to Danny Welbeck's stoppage time equaliser. Manchester City extend their lead at the top with a win over Brentford. Manchester United jump to 6th place with their victory over Burnley. And Tottenham settle for a draw with Southampton after their visit to St Mary's. All that coming up in today's episode.
Okay, my friends, as well, just before we get going on today's podcast, lots of great stories to get into. But before we begin, we've been getting lots of questions about the future of NBCSN in the Premier League. And I think it's just time, mate, for us to clear things up for people. So, yes, the channel NBCSN aired the final Premier League today. But Rebecca, Tim, Danny, Arlo, Lee, Graham and both of the two Robbies, we aren't going anywhere. No need to fear, we'll be at the same shows, covering the same league, just a different location, a different place now. So we're going to continue all the analyses of every single Premier League match on USA, NBC and Peacock. So USA is now the new destination instead of NBCSN. So RIP NBCSN. Hello, USA.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable, isn't it? People think that the show's going away. Same studio, same people. It's just a different channel. So get your USA. I've done it on my TV line. I've got it much closer to the top now. USA, I can see when the games are going to be on. So it's USA, NBC, those 12:30s Eastern time on a Saturday. And then Peacock. So that's where
And I believe more people have USA, actually, Rob, than NBCSN. So hopefully more people will be able to enjoy this great league that we have. And should we kick off with the football?
It's been
a fascinating midweek. I know there's been lots of talk about fitness and COVID and games being on, but all the games have given us something. Starting at the KP this week, Leicester City hosting Liverpool. It was Liverpool team and Goodnick, a Leicester City team that conceded a lot of goals, and there was a bit of criticism coming for Brendan Rodgers and his team. And I can remember before the game, Rob, actually, we talked about tactics of how the game might go. We looked at Brendan Rodgers' team with a 4-4-2 diamond, Maddison at the top of the diamond, Iheanacho and Vardy up front. And we talked about this as a Leicester team that can cause Liverpool problem with that high back line. And so it proved in the end. It was a frustrating day for Liverpool. Didn't score from a penalty kick that you expect. Didn't score any of the chances they created. And Leicester, through Luckman, get the goal, get the 3 points. And on the balance of play, I thought, Rob, showed a fight and a spirit, and in the end, with Brendan Rodgers making good subs, they got their reward.
They did, and fair play to Leicester and Brendan Rodgers. Give me a little bit of stick recently, and I said that I wanted to see this team. I couldn't remember really many times where I'd seen the fight and roll up the sleeves. I mean, it always helps, Rob, when you score the first goal. The first goal in this game was always going to be critical. Imagine if Liverpool had taken the penalty, you know, fairly early on, wasn't it? 16th minute.
16th, yeah.
Then Leicester City players, the whole thing's different. But they didn't score. They get a bit of fortune with Salah hitting onto the crossbar. And, you know, you look at Leicester's lineup, it's a thrown together lineup. It really, really is, you know, in midfield as well as the back four, which has been many talk about. So many injured defenders there. Dewsbury Hall is a very interesting one, Rob. Certainly a young player to keep our eyes on. I thought he was excellent. The left side of that diamond for Leicester City was involved in the goal.
Well, interesting. Not young Rob either. You know, not 19, 20 young. I think he's like 23. Been in the academy a long time. Sort of played under 23s. Usually at that stage at a club, if you haven't sort of broke in by then, you're probably thinking loan or maybe dropping to the Championship. But it's interesting that you say he's played like last 4 or 5 games now, left side, and certainly had an influence on the game. You're right, he's one of those that's sort of gone under the radar a little bit, but I think he's starting to catch your eye now.
The goalkeeper for Leicester City, Rob, we have underappreciated and very close to getting mine this midweek set of fixtures. Kasper Schmeichel. Well, how in terms of the pecking order, the Premier League goalkeepers, I think he's not far off the top. He's a few down, but not far off.
Top six. And there's been times this season I've almost thought, Kasper, just get in your goal and do your job. Stop getting involved with referees and incidents and players. But he's the captain of the football club. I thought he did a brilliant interview after the game where he talked about the work that the football club do, how hard it is to be Leicester, to keep fighting with the big boys and hanging in there. And it's something we probably gloss over a little bit. I mean, to be part of the top four, top five that they've been over the last couple of seasons, with a squad that's not as in-depth, yes, they've got quality. Yes, they've got potential players, but they're not quite at the levels of your Liverpools and your Man Cities and even to Chelsea's to a certain degree. Mm. And I just thought, yeah, you're right. He is underappreciated because in a league where you need to have a goalkeeper who's got a bit of spirit about him, who will make good saves for you, will come big in big moments. I mean, he did with the save that comes from Salah, considering what, 3-3 last week in the League Cup. He doesn't get near any of the penalties that go up, puts him out of the League Cup competition. You're right, he deserves a little bit of credit. And him and his teammates, as you say, was a makeshift team, I thought, came out of it with, that's better, Brendan. That's what you and your team can do.
Mm. Okay, switching to Liverpool, Rob, I'm going to ask you a question straight away. Was it all about the missed chances that Liverpool squandered? Sadio Mane going through the 55th minute or 56th minute and really, really should score there. Obviously, the missed penalty. Mm. Is it just one of those days for the front players where they had an off day? Or is there more of a concern that Jurgen Klopp might have with this team?
It's interesting, Rob, because Jurgen Klopp was very honest, very transparent, and talked about how disappointed that Liverpool were and that Leicester deserved to win. Mm. I think the goal opportunities make a difference, as you say, whether you go 1-0 up with the Salah. And you know the other thing, I watch a game back, as you often do, and look at a few highlights and things just to get your eye. Do you know the Mane miss, Rob, in many ways, was very similar to the Lookman goal. Very similar in that when he gets through and he gets to the side, and Mane was a little bit more central, probably
easier,
had a little bit,
Rob,
more time.
It's
an easier finish than Lookman's finish. Yeah, Lookman comes inside on the right-hand side. He's under a bit of pressure. He hits an early shot that beats the goalkeeper, finds the back net. And there was a difference. If you got the sense, if Liverpool went 1-0 up, their confidence, their ball possession, their intensity, would probably have got a second, but certainly would have hung on. But they didn't get the goal. And that's unlike them. Was it 50 this season? You know, Mo Salah misses a penalty. We don't expect that. So the Mane's form's not been great in front of goal. I think that's not innate for him.
Nine from
that position. It was a day when Jota just couldn't quite get, you know, had one or two headers, one or two opportunities. Goalkeeper in good form. The goals with it were the difference. When you've had 50 of them, Rob, before now, and you don't get one against a Leicester team, that makes it difficult for them.
I think we know they've got great forwards, Liverpool, great forwards on the bench as well. And, you know, groups of players well off days. Should this have been 0-0? Is there still a vulnerability about Liverpool defensively that I still think, when I watch their games, I think it's been brilliant watching them going forward, you know, et cetera. It's just when you watch them, when the ball turns over, you still, they don't seem as secure as they should be. Now, again, Trent Alexander-Arnold last year had a really bad period where, you know, if you actually went back, which I did, I looked at a lot of goals Liverpool conceded, they were down his side. Now, since then, he's got a lot better in terms of the tracking, in terms of defending. His passing game is back to a very high level. But he did get caught out again, Rob. Now, maybe at this moment in the game, he was tired, maybe made a run or something. He couldn't match. He didn't. I don't know whether he couldn't or he wouldn't. He didn't match the run of Ademola Lookman. Yeah. And that's where the goal came from. Matip's got to come out and there was space there. Just the vulnerability of Liverpool, Rob, in terms of a title challenge and being at their best, are they still a little bit down defensively? And if so, what's the parts that needs improving?
Well, the goals, Rob, have been outstanding. Maybe there's been a tilt to the goals that does make them a little bit more vulnerable. Certainly there was a period when they were conceding more. I don't think we should go overboard on the defence. It was one goal. They still defended quite well. It's interesting. So I've got a thought on both the full-backs. I think Andrew Robertson not being there, with the amount of ball they have down the left-hand side of the pitch, is a loss. I think Andrew Robertson's delivery into the box and his ability to create things from that left side when he's not there is a bit of a miss, as well as Tsimikas has done, as well as others have done. I don't think at times Robertson probably is appreciated enough because of what Trent does. But I thought that was a loss on the left-hand side. They had a lot of play down the left-hand side, and Tsimikas was taking an extra touch. And it didn't really come into something. Where that's Robinson, I kind of think he puts a ball in for Jota or did something. So that's my one point. My Trent situation, Rob, and I was thinking about this again, watch a game back, and I looked at Trent a couple of times. And do you know what I thought? And I've got to tell you, I've been there, done it myself. You probably have as a midfield player. Once or twice, somebody's left me in midfield, and I've almost gone, ah, I'd be okay.
Somebody else will get him.
It'd be okay. Someone else will get him. It's a 0-0 game. Nobody's going to score today. And you kind of lull yourself into security like, it'd be all right. And it's only after the game, or when you're lying at home, bed at night, you go, that's me. I haven't done my job. I should have followed him. But if you've done it for, sometimes you do it for 60 minutes, Rob, and somebody runs past you, and you take a big deep breath, and you go, it'll be okay. Somebody else will take him. I just felt Trent had one of them moments. Because if you watch him, he starts to run, and then he just drops down as if like,
I mean, in an ideal world, and it's easy for us, Rob. It's easy for us. We have a million replays, and we like sit in the studio, and we're like, okay, how did that happen? There you go. Oh, you know, he's at fault. Let's highlight him. And we've been there, so we know it's not that easy. But that kind of the reason that the goal was scored. So it's our job to point that stuff out.
Absolutely.
I think you're right. I mean, where he left him, Rob, wasn't far from the halfway line.
Yeah.
He's probably thought, well, there's somebody else. I think Jordan Henderson was kind of close. Yeah. He didn't make the run. And then, of course, Lookman's, you know, making a run in a dangerous spot. Anyway, it's just something to keep an eye on Liverpool in terms of if they want to keep up there with City and be in a position to pounce if Man City have a period of poor results or whatever. It doesn't look particularly, we're going to go on and talk about them. It's just how much a concern the defensive side is. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a one-off. Trent's let him go. Defensive, the numbers aren't too bad. I think they're the third in terms of the top three. They've conceded a few more. But good, fair play to Leicester City. Good night for them at home, under the lights. Never underestimate the power of any Premier League team on an evening game against the big boys. You can't. You just can't. Whether it's Brentford, whether it's whoever it is, it's another difficult game for Liverpool
It's an energiser, isn't it? Night game under lights with your fans is an energiser. Used to love them. Best games you play, aren't they?
This time of year, it's cold in the air, bit of dampness, you can tackle, slide tackle, and so well done, Leicester. Good result for them.
Let's move it on to, which is becoming a bit of a story of the week, Chelsea 1, Brighton 1. Let's talk about the game first, Rob, and then we'll get into all the other things that have seemed surrounded this game and sort of put it to our forefront. First of all, Rob, let my overview of the game, what I saw, and again, watched a good portion of it. Brighton were worthy of a point, Rob, at the end of the day. I mean, had more possession, had more shots, of finding the balance, you know, with the Danny Welbeck in, there's maybe a little bit more physical threat. Chelsea may feel they're unlucky with one or two incidents, but on the balance of the football played, it was about the right result.
Yeah, I mean, again, these games going on at the same time, weren't they? And so your eyes on a different couple of matches. When my eye was on this game, Brighton were dictating the play, had good possession. Just Chelsea have looked as rattled as I've seen them defensively. Just defensively look a little shaky. It's nowhere near as secure and as confident as they once were defensively back there. And yeah, you can look at the refereeing decisions and the Pulisic thing where it looks like a foul.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a foul. Yeah, it looks a foul.
I think it's a foul. And then, of course, you know, the Reece James injury looks like he's going to be out for a long... It looks a nasty one for Reece James. We know that Christensen's back injury. We get the moaning from the manager afterwards about, this is what I'm talking about. My players are exhausted. They're either recovering from COVID, they either have COVID, they've got injuries, or they're recovering from injuries and are having to play them. I looked at their bench. I mean, it was a pretty stacked bench. But maybe some of these guys have, you know, are just there and can't really do much because they've got
I do the same, Rob. I mean, I looked again, just having a thought about the game. Okay, I said, okay, they got injuries. The bench was Keppering, obviously his goalkeeper, Alonso, Chalobah, Saw, Kante, Sal Miguel, Barkley, Ziyech, Havertz. That's the bench. I mean, I know, again, some might not be ready, some might not be thinking, but, well, you know, of numbers of people sitting on your bench. And it sort of draws me to, Rob, and I want your opinion. I don't want to be in any way sort of governed by me. Where are we with Thomas Tuchel and where he's at in leading this football club? Because he's done a brilliant job to this point. Where are you over the last week or so of his management and what we're seeing?
Well, I've really, really enjoyed it being in the Premier League, Rob. And I think the team, the way the team developed from immediately making an impact's great. I haven't enjoyed the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks, Rob. I haven't enjoyed seeing him like blow his top on many occasions. Now, I want to make sure I put this over. I do understand the frustrations, Rob, of Tuchel and of all the managers that have complained about the amount of games over this period of time. Because, I mean, they moan mostly anyway. Yeah. You know, particularly the ones coming out of the Bundesliga where they've used to a month-long break and only one cup, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And COVID, of course, has made it harder. But, you know, Rebecca asked us on the show, I think yesterday, does that kind of negativity from your manager go into the dressing room? Yeah. And I think it does a little bit, Rob. I think players always naturally look for an excuse. You know, McGaffer's right. You know, I'm meant to play. You know, I've been injured for 3 weeks. I've got to get back and play all the game. I don't feel great. I'm recovering from COVID. I've got to play. So I don't think it's helping the team, Rob. Even though I understand his issues. Other managers have been also as strong about it. And I think the situation and I think I agree with, I think it was Ralf Rangnick talking about, the only league that has two cup competitions, doesn't have a break, plays all the games, and we don't have three subs.
Yeah, three subs, yeah.
I get that. But also, by the way, Robert, just throw it back to you on this one. I'm not sure whether you can just, in mid-season, jump to changing five subs, because it's not, I mean, it makes the integrity of the league and for teams that might have had a result if they had an extra couple of subs back in the season. Yeah. I don't think you can do that. The league got caught out there and didn't expect this huge new wave.
Yeah,
and wanted to get back to three, which I think most people time thought, yeah, let's get back to three subs. And then I think when you're in it, I don't think you can just change it. I might be wrong, but I think there would be a problem if they changed to five mid-season.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one. And obviously, we didn't all know what that's COVID and the variant and what it's done. I'm a bit with you, and I have sympathy for the managers. I have sympathy for the health and fitness and welfare that we're talking about with the players. I even, Rob, to a certain degree, I heard David Moyes talking about it the other day, and he said, you know, as a West Ham manager, and I've been in the league, Christmas comes, blah, 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 blah. He said, maybe I'm just a bit more hardened to it or used to it. He said, people coming into our league. But the thing I would say, where I disagree with Tuchel is, before the game, Rob, get on with the game. He's got to be played. Before his pre-game interview, get on with it. After the game, if you want to have the big moan up after the game, once it's done, that win, lose, or draw. Just like Brendan Rodgers did, whose Leicester team were back four that probably wouldn't even have been there, Rob, with half the team that he couldn't have. They got on with the game, they won it, and he still then said after, you know, he's worried about the welfare. I mean, it looks like Vardy's going to be injured hamstring. He's out for 3 or 4 weeks now, which, you know, is a big shame for them. But I just wonder, I just feel like Tuchel's obviously wanting to make his point. I get that. He's at a big club and they've got a little bit of power and they're trying to influence the league. I get that. You've got a game against Brighton to play with a group of players on name and on paper that should be good enough to beat Brighton. Concentrate on that first. Then after, when you've won or when you've drawn or when you've won, then come and have those on. I just feel before the game, you're right, that if I'm feeling like I'm okay, and then the manager sort of tells me that, you know, I've got a group in there that are feeling really tired, I kind of think, yeah, I am feeling a little bit more tired. You know what I mean? Mm. It just seeps into my little bit. And those little bits are what we know. Those are difference makers. I just want to go into the game, do the game, then have to say, yeah, the league aren't helping us, by the way. And I just feel like he's just got to be careful that he doesn't turn this on. And I don't know if he's doing a bit of siege mentality or whatever. I just hope he doesn't turn this, that the team start being affected and his influence and his position starts being affected by, Tuchel's come into the league and all he wants to do is moan. Because he's been brilliant for the league. He's done great stuff. And they're still in the title race.
Of course they are. They are. Yeah. Another bit of news, Rob, that we should probably jump onto straight away that came out today.
Yeah.
Really, really surprised me, actually. And to be fair, I watched our broadcast today and Rebecca came on and and talked about it straight away. And it was a first, actually, because I was out this morning. At first, I'm like, what's this? Like, and then, of course, you go online and it's legit and a lot of the newspapers are going with it and all the sites and all the journalists are going with it. I mean, if you got some of the quotes there, Rob, I mean, I haven't got them to hand.
So I got the headline quote of Romelu Lukaku, who apparently 3 weeks ago spoke to Sky Sports Italia. It was before he got back fit. So we just have to give context to the interview. But there were words around, Rob, and I just took the first line there. He's physically fine, he said, but he's not happy with the situation at Chelsea. Tuchel has chosen to play with another system. I won't give up. I'm professional. I'm not happy with the situation, but I'm professional. I can't give up now. Now's not the right time to share my feelings. I have always said that I have Inter in my heart. I know I'll return to Inter. I really hope so. I am in love with Italy. This is the right moment to talk and let people know what really happened. And he then went on to talk about his time in Italy and what he liked and talked a little bit about the system. Now, it seems to be that, again, a few of the journalists are interpreting what they believe he said, that the system might have been different, that he was going to play with a partner, that it might be a 3-5-2, and there was a 2 rather than the person underneath, and that Tuchel had gave him some assurances that that was the way he was going to go. Now, again, whether it was just said at the time, whether it had any context to where we are now, it's the kind of thing that I was surprised Lukaku would say, based on what we know about him. Tim Howard talks about him. We saw the Inside the Mind with Lukaku last week. So it looks very dedicated to thing. Has come back, got back-to-back goals in the Premier League. Is a hugely important part of what Chelsea are doing. This was a little bit of a grenade in there, Rob, I thought, for Chelsea, that they didn't need right now.
I don't know why it's come out now. I don't know why it's 3 weeks ago since the interview that's been chucked in at this situation right when Chelsea are having a struggle up. I don't like that.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to care for before I really tell you what I feel is the context of those words.
Yeah.
My goodness, mate. I mean, at the times that we've been playing and watching it and analysing it, quotes are very easy taken out of context.
Yeah.
And it's a Sky Sports Italia, interview.
Yeah.
He's probably loving up Inter. I get that. He had a great time there and I want to come back sometime. Mm-hmm. And is he chucked in? I'm not happy at the moment. It's not, the system's a bit different to what I did at Inter. I'm just a bit careful of the context, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that right now.
Very good point. It's a very good point.
So I'm just very careful about that. But
if
it kind of is more, the actual words that he said, I'd be really disappointed in him, Rob. Disappointed him. He's gone back to Chelsea. The move that he wanted, was it £90 million?
Yeah.
Like $100+ million. He's a player. He's a player. He's a player that the manager can use however he wants, the coach. And I just feel like sometimes players, they want to have it all their own way. And I understand players have got the right to say what they feel, and it's freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. But at this club, they paid the money to bring him back to the club, and he looks good. I mean, he had a little barren period, that maybe where the words came from and the frustrations came from. But the manager now reading that's like, and I understand, by the way, I think the Telegraph reported that they since had a conversation, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe this came out earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope it's been nipped in the bud, and I hope it was taken a little bit out of context, because Thomas Tuchel and Roman Abramovich and that football club doesn't want a striker. They've just paid a fortune to be unhappy and to be frustrated and to maybe his game starts to be influenced by... He's a player, Rob. I mean, we all get played all over the place and you have to get on with it. I was so disappointed, a little bit shocked when I heard it today. I thought, God, just get on with the job. Go and be a success at Chelsea.
Yeah, he becomes the key piece, Rob. We've been saying that with all the injuries, that the other bits have got to fit underneath. Who are the two tens? How's he going to play? Why? If he starts to be a problem, Chelsea got massive issues. Massive issues, Rob. And I just wonder, in terms of Tuchel, Rob, I heard, I think it was Danny who was on our broadcast today, and again, I won't influence your decision. Danny said he thought it was kind of a droppable offence and that maybe Tuchel might not play him at the weekend. I didn't totally agree with that, but that was Danny's take on it. Yeah, Tim went the other way and said he scored goals since that time. I think they've had a conversation. I think it's the kind of thing that a manager can manage. But, yeah. You know, Becker was saying, is it a bit like Aubameyang and do you have to sometimes make it? You know, and I hear that argument, but I didn't totally agree with that. I hear what, listen, some people might say it's disrespectful to the club. Some hardened Chelsea fans might, or others. I slightly disagree. And I think, and I just wanted to make a point on this, Rob, that sometimes I think people who outside of dressing rooms often have an opinion and hear things. Dressing rooms move on quickly, don't they? Things happen in the dressing room. I mean, we've had punch up at half time, go out second half, win a game, and people, it moves on. And I think this 3 days later will be very old news in a football club.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think because it happened so long ago, I'm not sure there's going to be punishments now. I mean, like I said, I think they've had a conversation. Again, it's not great. You want to work with your players. You know, if players are frustrated as a manager, you'd prefer they didn't say it in the press, mate. You wouldn't you? I mean,
absolutely.
Just if you're not happy, come knock on my door. Yeah. Let's have a chat. Okay. There's so many things I don't like about it. But again, last time, I think we should be a little bit careful around the context. I mean, he's the main man there, Rob. I mean, and Man United, by the way, you know, it went a little quiet, a little awkward for him at Man United, where he became unhappy and then he ended up leaving the club. I hope he's not going to be one of those players that
guy.
When it's great and when I'm flipping scoring goals and I love it, and Inter, I win a championship, you know, brilliant. But when things are a little bit tough and it's not really going as good as I thought it was going to go, then there's going to be a reason to start to seem a little unhappy and say a few things and head go down a little bit. I don't know. Again, I think we should...
We should move it on. And I think with him, with all strikes, listen, Rob, it goes bangs in 4 goals in the next 3 games. Everybody will be saying, done.
I think so.
Move on. And that's what he's got to do. Let's just quickly, before we move on this one, there's a huge game now at the Bridge. Chelsea taking on Liverpool. Both had decent, disappointing results and performances this week. Who starts favourite?
Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Wounded. Again, I'm thinking more of availability. They've just had a terrible result. The front players, to my knowledge, are still okay.
Yeah, we last know game, that isn't it, before they go.
The ruling before, the African Cup of Nations gave, you know, the players don't have to leave until after this game. So your Mane's and your Naby Keita's and your Mo Salah are okay to play in this game. I just think, and given the little bit of shakiness around Chelsea right now, Rob, another injury in Reece James. I mean, Reece James being out, wing-back, Chilwell's just had surgery. I'm not sure the state of Marcus Alonso. So wing-back, I mean, Pulisic's playing wing-back. I mean, is he going to have to match up with maybe Mane or Salah? So I think just in terms of the fettle, I know they're both coming off the back of disappointing results. I think Liverpool would start just as favourites. But again, home, Chelsea, fans are going to be up for it. They're going to want to react to their disappointing performance, their last performance against Brighton. So should be a great game, but I just think Liverpool might edge it.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, but it's one of them that, listen, Man City'd love a draw. Neither of them can afford a draw. I just think Liverpool's need and where they all might just be a bit more. But great game to look forward to the weekend at Liverpool. The Chelsea. One team who benefited from those poor results for Liverpool and Chelsea this week were Manchester City. 10 straight wins in the Premier League. Continue to push on it this time of year. I think they won a 21 game all comps winning run last year that pretty much won them the title. They have an early kickoff this weekend, my friend. I think an Arsenal could go 11 points clear if they win there.
Yeah, certainly it wasn't
classic Man City. It was efficient Man City. They got the job done. Phil Foden getting the start. Jack Grealish starting, but Foden getting the goal. Beautiful goal from Kevin De Bruyne. And this is one of those days, Rob, for me when I watch this game, and you know, just you make a couple of notes. And I kind of said, it's City's football that's going to win them the title, right? It's their football. And it goes back to my point why, at the very beginning of the season, I said, they'll win the title. And people saying, well, they haven't got Kane and this. And I was saying, Harry Kane would get, no doubt, 20 to 25 goals playing for City. But 15 of those goals would be the tapping goals that we see midfield players get. And then 10 would be because of Harry, what he does, headers, big shots.
Some great shots,
yeah. Yeah, but without Harry Kane, those chances are still going to be there. And if the midfield players take them, they'll all get 6, 7, 8, 9 between them, and they'll do the job. And it was one of those days where I thought that bore true, that their football will find a way in the end to win them the title.
Their football closed the game out.
Yeah.
Absolutely closed the game
out. It's a game closer.
Brentford won it, and we've spoke a lot of times about teams finding a way, whether you score extra goals or you keep the possession to kill the game off. Brentford wanted to. They were desperate to get the ball forward and get those front players involved. But City bump. It just paralysed you with their football. And I think you're right as well. Credit, of course, to Pep. With no striker, I think he has trained them, like drilled into them, midfield players, get in the box. We need you to score goals. So they're all doing it. They're all doing it.
Yeah.
Apart from one player. The player that started in the false nine and after... I think about half an hour.
Yes, chucked him left.
Switched him out.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish is struggling, Rob.
Jack Grealish is struggling. There's been a bit of criticism from over in the UK. I don't know, one or two high-profile people have sort of said he's playing safe and he's playing a little bit scared and he's not really taking
plays
on
the ball
risk.
Backwards, Rob. Yeah. Mm. Plays the ball backwards nearly all the time. From a wide position.
It's a good point and it's an interesting debate. Does the football that City play and the way that it's done, Rob, for a player who's there, does it inhibit you if you're Jack Grealish? Does it I don't want to be the guy who gives it away. I don't want to be the guy who drops the ball down. I'll give you a very quick example. Many years ago, when I used to go and watch Arsenal all the time, and Arsene Wenger, and they signed Franny Jeffers, was a centre-forward from Everton. Arsenal. And Arsenal were the most beautiful football team in the planet at that time. I used to go to the Highbury and watch them all the time and make my little notes. Every time Franny Jeffers got the ball, it kind of broke down. The rhythm played out the game. And it was almost like, he's not really an Arsenal player. And I look at Jack and I wonder if the alpha male that was the Villa, number not giving the ball, he'll do his thing. Can that alpha male prosper? Can that alpha male be part of City, or does that get drawn out of him?
So this is how I see it. Man City's football, right, is designed to end up mostly with the wingers on the ball, Rob, with a one-on-one. So when you've got Raheem Sterling, Riyad Mahrez, Phil Foden. When they get it in the final third, Rob, they've got the speed and the ability to take on that last defender to pull the ball back for tap-ins. Grealish Jack Grealish has got tons of ability and attributes. He hasn't got the ability to dribble past the final fullback consistently. So when he gets the ball, Rob, and I promise you, I watched it so many times in this last game and before that, he stands him up. He's not confident. He's got the acceleration or the little move like a Mahrez fake or a little.
Will that come though, Rob?
He's a talented 1-2s through balls, talent, dribble, carry the ball. I just think, Rob, like in yesterday's game, if he was switched positions with Bernardo Silva, I think maybe his best position might be Bernardo Silva as a number 8, bring the ball forward. He plays the ball to Raheem Sterling, who can take on the last defender. Because when it multiple times, he got the ball. He has two people come over. He wants the safe option. And maybe you're right. Maybe he's influenced by Pep. He comes out, boom, backwards.
I hear you then, but if I'm playing devil's advocate, which you have to in Pep's side, Bernardo Silva's played in those wide positions, and he can be productive. He's not quick.
I think he can dribble by players better than Jack can, slightly better. Yeah. I hear you, and maybe not the acceleration of a Mahrez or a Sterling, so I hear you.
Yeah,
he doesn't play there that often. He plays in midfield.
No, he doesn't. But when he has played there, I've never felt like he does it in a different way. And I just wonder if does Jack need a bit of time and maybe a little bit more self-belief that he can be that guy? Or are we never going to see the Jack Grealish of Villa in the blue of City? Because that's kind of what seems to be saying. He's a different player. He's half the player that he was what we used to see at Villa.
Yeah, we saw him as a false nine many times. Started this game as a false nine. Yeah. Hasn't got to grips with that. That might have been his way into the team, Rob. That might have been his way to get some goals and to be important to the team. If he's not going to make it work as a false nine, I think we saw what he does as a wide left. And sometimes he can combine and play a little 1-2 and maybe score a goal. But his numbers, his goals and assists has to speak of, I'm more of a midfield player. I'm more of a provider. I'm more of a, we'll keep the ball going. Great. Got out of trouble, dribble through, got a foul, you know, switch the ball. Instead of, okay, give it me. Boom. Here we go. Dribble. And a midfield role, maybe where we see that. Again, it's not, the get it, the pass back, just it's not what Pep wants from that guy. If that's Sterling or Mahrez, they are taking on that last defender one-on-one and finding a way through, pass behind to pull back or to score. And that's where he struggled, I think, in a City shirt.
Maybe we got to give him a little time. I think, you know, next season will be the season. You got to also remember, by the way, they're 8 points clear, top of the table, with a guy who's carrying, but nursing through his opening part, which we've seen with many City players. So I'm still hopeful that we can see the best of Jack in a City shirt.
Rob, let me just chuck one more at you. So on the show, I was kind of thinking, I was like looking at the lineups and stuff, and I thought, you know what, they could change the whole team, City, and there'd be very little drop-off. And I said to Rebecca, like, I'm not sure we've ever seen that before, Rob. Have we ever seen a Premier League team that... And a champion team, a top team that can replace eight players of that 11 and still be not much different. I'm not sure there's been a better squad of players as a 25 that they can all play and win games regularly, Rob. What do you think?
Well, I think the point being, and I think it'll go back to a point we made, I think, on the last podcast, is the management of the players is key, Rob, to that. We talked about Chelsea almost... every position these you could double up. We talked about Liverpool, 60, 70%. Okay, you might not get the Salah goals, but with Jota coming in.
Bigger drop-off, though, do you think?
Yeah, bigger-ish, but yeah. I mean, that's only because of the levels that these players are playing at. But I hear your point, but I mean, Nathan Ake comes in at left-back. I mean... He's not really a left back; he's a centre back. But in that system, with the football, with the way they keep the ball, it ain't going to go away.
I know.
I tell you what was really interesting yesterday, Rob, as well. I don't know if you noticed it. And as I was just looking through the teams, in an era when everybody's talking about how much football players have had and all this, and you know, rest, Pep didn't make a sub.
I know.
Every player played 90 minutes. So again, it wasn't a day where he rested people who were going to get the benefit. For going into the game against Arsenal,
I made the same note that all the, where is it? So you've got Sterling, Gundogan, Mahrez, Zinchenko, rested.
So they go bang into your team at the weekend, fresh as a daisy, and then off we go again. I mean, that's the management. That's the difference. That this guy's just on an absolute another level. And as much as he says it, mate, they're in pole position again now.
They are to
get this job done. So interesting. We'll see how they go against Arsenal, against Arteta, his former guy. Arteta not going to be there because of COVID. But interesting game against an informed Arsenal team who were dangerous. Let's move it to the other team in Manchester United. A lot of eyes on this one after the Newcastle draw and people talking about body language and whingers in the team. Ragnar got it done. His team got it done. They scored 3 goals in the first half. Conceded 1 was enough. First half, I thought, was really interesting, exciting, and playing to watch. Second half dropped off a bit, which seemed to United's flavour. Didn't have too many dramas. Got the job done. Steps forward, Rob, after the Newcastle game and addressing the body language and the whingers that, you know, was sort of being bandied around.
Yeah, too much story on that. Too much story on whingers. I mean, come on. There's more issues to get this club playing well than worrying about a few people with body language because they're not playing well. Changes. I thought the fullbacks had to change. I thought the fullbacks were particularly poor in the Newcastle game. Lacks quality. I thought Luke Shaw... stood out at left back. Maguire looked shaky at times. And I thought the system was a little different. I thought it looked like a 4-4-2, Rob. I thought it looked like a 4-4-2, which I think is going to suit Greenwood. It's going to suit Rashford Rashford, when he comes back in,
Sancho,
give him some space. They're the talented players. Don't ask them to come inside. Where to be fair, I think it's kind of easy to snuff that out if you're an opponent. You know, it kind of is. Like, they're going to come inside. Okay, make sure we're nice and tight. It becomes very, very crowded. I'm not sure they've got the players to play through that. So I think it was more of a 4-4-2, which I thought suited them. Cavani and Ronaldo looks obviously, you know, from what they've done in the game, I like the look of them together. I mean, who doesn't like the look of them together?
Yeah.
We know that Cavani finds it harder to stay fit and healthy than Ronaldo does, but I think there's a respect between the two, particularly with Ronaldo, that knows he's in there. He's up there with a legit striker. And there's a couple of crosses coming in, Rob, and I thought they did a really nice job of one runs across the other, one goes in the near post, switches. One spins around to the back post. So that there's an understanding there. So I thought there was also a sense of a team, of togetherness, compactness.
Yeah.
So I steps forward, Rob, and the three goals, great, and McTominay, well done. But I can't say that I thought it looked really convincing. I think the car still doesn't look like they can really sustain attacks and Ralph Ragnick himself wants game control. I don't think that even Ralph Ragnick would say we had really great game control. Burnley had opportunities
and chances,
throughout the game, Rob. There's a vulnerability about Man United still, even though they look better, they could have conceded at any point. If another goal would have went in, Rob, second half.
It's all nervy, isn't it? That goal. United almost weren't quite good enough to go and get a fourth to put it to bed, and Burnley weren't good enough in the end to get a second because they didn't score enough goals. But it was there for the moment, and I'm saying, I thought it was better. I thought the shape looked better. Sancho's looked much happier. Him and Luke Shaw, I thought, got a nice understanding.
Yeah.
Greenwood on that right-hand side had a little bit more. I think freedom where he can go out and in. And I was thinking about it, like, as you know, the Newcastle midfield, who did exceptionally well, but if you've got those players right on top of you, Rob, and you can go and rattle them in 5 yards, you're well happy. When they're out there and then the ball gets shifting, you've got to run 10 or 15 yards and now they're flying in and
out. They've got some space there, yeah.
Big problem. But the same, I thought, still lacked a little control, still lacked a little bit of what I call real team rhythm. And I still think it's searching to find out who they are and what they are. But it was better. The goal has helped. The control will get better. And like you say, I thought it's a step forward after what we saw. It's definitely a step up from what we saw at Newcastle. But still plenty to do. I think they got Wolves on Monday, at home to Wolves on Monday. That's got to be another 3 points if they want to close the gap. It's 4-point gap now between them and Arsenal. They're on 31 points. You know, it's a game they got to win. There's a few must-win games now for United if they want to be serious about heading into that top four.
Yeah, and just in terms of standouts, Rob, which players caught your eye? I mean,
I'm gonna give you my underappreciated performer of the week, and it's a guy who sometimes comes in a partnership, a McFred partnership, Scott McTominay. I thought today we saw the benefit of Nemanja Matic, who isn't the most athletic guy in the world and with a bit more legs, but he freed up McTominay to be the guy we saw glimpses of last season, who can be a bit more eight box to box. I thought his passing was good, his energy and drive I thought was good from the middle of the field, and I thought they needed. He gets a first goal, he had a couple of good efforts, he was involved in most of the good work that they did, and I think he sometimes gets tarred with the McFred brush that actually is a little unfair, and it made me think, Rob, if they had the right kind of defensive midfield player with him, we could see so much more. Let me tell you, stick Declan Rice in there next to him, you'd see a different player in McTominay. Mm. And I just thought today was a good day with all the Cavani's and Ronaldo's, and Shaw was back, who had a decent day, and he certainly was part of my thinking. I thought a little bit of an underappreciation for Scott McTominay, who often gets a lot of criticism, but I still think there's a player in there.
I do find it difficult to finalise my thoughts on Scott McTominay. Because there's games where I think, wow, what a player. He's got physicality. He's got a brilliant attitude. He's got a good engine. He loves to tackle. Strong. Can arrive in the box to score goals. other games where he looks clunky, his passing's not that progressive. And I'm like, you know what? Is he good enough for Manchester United? I think at times, like with Fred, sometimes I think we've given Fred underappreciated because he's had good games. But when you've got the two of them together, maybe they both benefit from Declan Rice, whoever it is who plays.
But I think you
make a valid point about Nemanja Matic, who's not going to be running forward. And I think when we used to do it, Rob, I'm sure we're the same. In a midfield two and it's 4-4-2, one is going to be encouraged to get forward.
To go.
And if it's Fred and McTominay, I think Fred's done it pretty well and he's gone. But now, and he's gone forward and McTominay's been the sitting player, but Matic, he's not going to go. So go on then, Scott, on you go. And he's done pretty well. I think the best Scott McTominay is a forward, is a N8, but it's a get forward when you can, get back and help out, get forward when you can. That's probably going to be his best role in the team. And when he has to just sit, I don't know, it's going to be very safe passing and he's going to do defensive work.
It's interesting,
I like
Rob,
him though.
Based on that and just a thought of where McTominay, because I was thinking there were changes today, I think six changes, five made by the manager, but the one was Fernandez, who was suspended.
Yeah.
If Bruno played in there, Bruno played against Newcastle and he was the one who got in, McTominay sat second half, Bruno got on the ball.
How about
that look?
But that goes back to Scott McTominay doing the thing that he's not quite as good as.
Correct. Could he grow into that role?
Be persuaded, like, you know what, Scott? Attacking midfield players, when Pogba comes back and Bruno, there's others that are probably going to get more of that than you are. Why don't you make yourself a really, really great defensive midfield player?
Because
I feel he has got the attributes. The passing's going to be simple, but other great players have simple passing.
He plays centre-back for Scotland, doesn't he? He plays as three of the centre-backs sometimes, the one who gets on the ball and comes through. So be interesting to see. And I get the sense Ragnick likes him. I heard him after and talked about his energy and how important he is and that he had a bit of an injury and wanted to play. So be interested to see how Scott McTominay goes. But I just thought underappreciated performer of the week for the week. He deserved a little mention.
Yeah, deserved it. Absolutely right. All right, where are we going next, my friend? We're going to Southampton versus Tottenham. Slightly disappointing for Spurs. They finished Southampton 1, Spurs 1. Lovely goal from James Ward-Prowse, one of your favourite players of the season. Central midfield player, beautiful, slicing, fading, control, finishing to the corner. And then Harry Kane, with a penalty in the 41st minute, smacks it into the roof of net to make it 1-1. A man sent off in Mohamed Salisu. Who's had a good season,
stupidity.
To be fair.
Yeah.
It was really like, God, he's
unprofessional. Just got one of them in him, hasn't he? He's just got one of those challenges in him. It reminds me of Eric Bailly. I just can't ever trust him 100%.
Yeah, and it's such a shame for Southampton because they started the game really well.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, they could have gone on and won the game. Now, they did brilliantly, Southampton, to, you know, I think there were six changes. Defended really, really well.
Changes,
it was just frustrating for Spurs fans. And I think this is a little glimpse into some of the issues maybe with the Spurs team is when they have to try and break down a low block, Rob,
deep.
Or a team, you know,
deep.
I'm not sure that creativity is great in this Spurs team. Amazing from counter-attacks, and Conte loves that, and that's great.
Yeah.
And they've looked really good at that when they break up the play and the transitions and they run forward. But this was just a little indicator, maybe they need a little bit more quality.
That being said, mate, they were like, I don't know, a couple of underarm hairs of Harry Kane offside to a beautiful ball from Wintz, a lovely time run and finish. And it's one of them where I'm thinking again, where's that line? I mean, come on, that's the ones we say, come on, let's have a benefit.
I know. When you look at with the angles, I mean, it wasn't great angles because it's kind of deep. Man. But you're like, you look at it with your bare eyes, like, it looks level there. Yeah, what are we doing? One of those, which is frustrating. Yeah. But they still should have done better, Rob, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they still should have got the game done. And in the end, to be honest, Amanda Brozier came on for Southampton late on, Rob, and picked himself a chance, just picked the pocket of Eric Dier, and had a decent shot there. Sanchez come over, and, you know, Southampton could have gone on and nicked it 2-1. But well played for Southampton, because I thought it showed a little bit of spirit, and they hung in there, and they made it difficult and dropped deep as they needed to. Kipper made a couple of decent saves, maybe a bit of fortune with one that he dropped, but... yeah, you're right. That's where that little bit of passing quality that maybe a Lo Celso and an Ndombele, or I don't know.
I thought Ndombele. Ndombele was on the bench, Rob.
Yeah, he can drift past people. He sees a little pass. He's got that something different.
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't see him. We saw Brian Hill come and get an opportunity.
Yeah,
I thought, go back to one of our normal kind of guys we mentioned. Dele was poor, Rob, wasn't he? Disappointed with Dele.
Yeah.
In a slightly different role. It wasn't as a midfield three getting forward, which I think is his best position. It was a right forward, just like Lucas. Yeah. Just like Lucas, like just in behind Kane and just struggled to have an impact on the game. It's just, I don't know, it continues to be frustrating getting Dele to be really effective on a consistent level.
Yeah.
You know, he got... he got dragged out of the game, didn't he? He got subbed out of the game.
Yeah, subbed out. Yeah,
it was poor. Yeah, it was
a shame. Yeah, because we've seen bits of some good bits of Dele, and you get the sense that Conte wants to give him a chance. But you know, as you know, with Antonio Conte's team, he wants some consistency on a weekly basis. So, yeah disappointing point in the end for Spurs. As they look forward to the weekend, getting back to things and trying to get towards that fourth spot. Let's move on to a team that's picked themselves up again, West Ham United. I just love watching them at the moment, Rob, because I just think we've seen a team that, again, have got injuries, have had problems, no Agbonna, no Zouma at the back, but they continue to get results. Went 1-0 down at West Ham, come back and won the game 4-1. Goals spread around in the team. And a really good win for West Ham that just keeps them up there, ticking with the top boys at the table. For Watford, I'm afraid, another defeat for our friend Mr. Ranieri. I think that's 2 wins and 8 losses in his 10 games now. He won't have much longer, by the way. Dilly ding, dilly they dong won't. Won't be for dilly long if he goes.
No, I mean, obviously it was a tough stretch when he first took over.
Yeah.
And it's such a bad... And I know people sort of say, well, hang on a minute, it was difficult. But those losses have an impact. So when the games come where you're like, okay... You know, it's not easy. Of course, West Ham at home's not easy, but the games are starting to be a little bit easier and the results aren't there as well. That's when you know that the Gino Pozzo, the owner of this club, is going to be thinking about a replacement. He just will. He's just going to. And, you know, he's a, are we going in the right direction type of owner? And if we're not going in the right direction, doesn't matter how many games, you know, we're going to change the manager. Munoz was fired, Rob, and I remember super early in, was it like 7 games in or something?
Was it that many?
I feel it was 4-5 7.
Games. Yeah, 7, yeah,
man. And I remember the points being exactly the same as the games played.
Yeah.
And I know it's early, limited amount of data, like 7 games, 7 points. It seems to be in my... Now, at the time I thought, wow, you know, this isn't awful. There wasn't in the bottom three, and yet they made the change. We got to have a Premier League manager with experience that can coach this team with the new players, etc. And it's not going great. It's not going very well. Now, if Ranieri
can't keep a clean sheet, mate, to start. No. They've got guys up front. One of your players this season, Emmanuel Dennis, and King.
He's scoring goals.
And
8 goals.
And there's goals in the team. The one thing usually, well, again, ask Norwich, is you can't score goals. You struggle to score goals. They can score goals. They can't defend.
It's just... It's shocking for them, and it's a good reaction from West Ham, Robert. They lost against Southampton.
West Ham love,
really poor. And I'm going to go for my underappreciated performance. It's a West Ham United player, and it's Jared Bowen. What a player he is! And there's other players in this team, in this squad, that get a lot more love than Jared Bowen, but he plugs away on that right hand side. He's the guy that goes up front when Mikel Antonio is out injured. And he had a brilliant game. I think he had one disallowed. He scored one. He made another. I mean, his energy, his work ethic is great from that right-hand side. It's one of them players that we know that David Moyes loves because he's a talented, hard worker and a fighter. And I just thought it was a game. He had such a strong game, so much composure, dribbling, finishing. Again, the volley scored that was a foul was given in the build-up.
He
did everything in the game. Had a really good match. And Jared Bowen isn't somebody I don't think that people talk a lot about, but they should.
Yeah.
And people are listening or watching. So just keep an eye on Jared Bowen and what he does without the ball and with the ball, which you're going to see a lot more, of course. But I think there's been talk about him, Rob,
England.
Liverpool? There's been, and certainly England, England, but I think it's been Liverpool shout as well. National team, you know, is he better than some of the, you know, maybe the Rashfords and some of the others that have had looks that haven't really done it so much. So Jared Bowen gets my underappreciated performer. And I love the way he plays. His work and his talent. So well done, Bowen.
Really good shout, you know. And it's great. You got to remember, you come from the Championship with Hull, Rob. coming into the league, and it's difficult, and he's got to make a name, and he's got to make a start, as you say. And if they need to, they've chucked him up front. He's done a good job up there, and certainly scoring and making goals. Yeah, he's absolutely a David Moyes type forward that they've got in the team now. Let's move on to the last game of the week, Crystal Palace 3, Norwich 0. Patrick Vieira wasn't there. He's attached for COVID, so he's in isolation. But I think Owen Roberts, the number two, took charge of this. And Palace got the job done pretty much in the first half. Goals for Edward, for Mateta and Slot was enough to give him 3-0 at half-time. I've got to be honest, Rob, and it was a game I think I was working on. I'm not sure if you were in. And we looked at the Norwich team. There was nobody with Premier League goals in the starting 11.
And well, I think this season,
in the starting 11. And I said to Rebecca, when I looked at the team sheet, it's probably one of the weakest Premier League team sheets I've ever seen. I mean, ever. I don't know if people were changed because of resting, whether there were injuries, or they changed from the weekend against the Arsenal team. Maybe just felt you had to make changes, but they didn't give themselves a chance. Penalty Ken McLean on it on 7-8 minutes. First goal for Edward. Then he makes one from Mateta, 2-0. Slot before half time. Could have been 4 or 5 in the second half. And 5 straight defeats now for Dean Smith. He had 5 straight defeats at Villa and lost his job. 5 straight defeats now for Norwich. And all that good work that started when he first went in, Rob, feels like a pretty long time ago.
I totally agree on all you just said, Rob. But if you look at the league table, I mean, points wise, they're not cut adrift. And of course, I understand that Watford have got games to make up. Burnley have got more games to make up.
Yeah.
But it's not. Now, what I see and what you see from the lineup, they are not going to stay up. They haven't got enough play. Winning games for them is incredibly difficult. And it looks incredibly difficult. To be competitive looks incredibly difficult. So they're going to go down and they've got to rethink. Just rethink it. They've got a different manager now. Daniel Farke's gone. Dean Smith will be confident he can get this team promoted again. But in a way, try and find a way to update the squad enough to be competitive. Because it's happened twice now where they've really did well in the championship, won it by a distance.
Came straight back up.
And then can't be competitive. So Palace, good for them. Puts them in a lovely spot in mid-table in the Premier League. There's going to be some difficult times, some difficult results. Needed this one at home. Fans are enjoying the way they're playing. Fair play to Patrick Vieira. We've said it many times about how hard this job was. And a good day for those fans. It isn't often at Selhurst Park, Rob, where the fans can enjoy 3-0 victories and goals going in early and and the football's expansive. And it's just it's a good story. They're not gonna finish in the top 10, probably, or top 8. But what a good transitional season.
There's an inside the mind coming with myself and Patrick Vieira, and I sat down with him. And one of the things he talked about, Rob, is almost like if you can just get this team through this season and start to put the building blocks in place, there's an exciting future. He talked about a lot of those good young players, Elise, Eze, Gallagher. You know, he said he's looking forward to working with this group. This season was just important. So, good win for Palace. Fortunately for Norwich. And just a bit of news on Norwich, Rob. Their game at Leicester this Sunday has been postponed due to COVID cases at Carrow Road. So that's a game we've lost.
And maybe that explains some of the weak team, Rob, that you saw.
One or two have got cases. But, they're going to have to, once they get fit and play those games, get themselves a couple of wins if they're going to have a chance. Right, my friend, it's a great midweek. Great midweek for Man City, by the way. Top of the table. 10 straight wins. An 8-point gap between them, Chelsea and Liverpool now. Manchester United, they gave Sir Alex Ferguson a pretty early 80th birthday present. 3 goals, 3 points as they race for a top 4 spot. And just a reminder to all our listeners and watchers, remember that was the last game on NBCSN for the Premier League. We kick off the new year with tons of game on USA, so remember to go to USA to watch the Premier League from here on in. We'll be back on Monday, that's January the 3rd. When we recap a very important match week where Man City take on Arsenal, that's the early game Saturday, and Chelsea versus Liverpool, that's a big one, that's a late one on Sunday. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies, thanks for watching and listening. Please stay safe and be healthy, and we both want to wish you a very, very happy new year. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.